Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 reads this way. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together in your name. And Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. We do pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to understand more about you and what you've given to us in salvation. So bless your word, bless us, your people, and Lord, use us for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Understanding the Relationship Between Jesus Christ and the New Testament Church. Understanding the relationship between Jesus Christ and the New Testament Church. There is a relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his local New Testament church. And so as we consider that this evening, I do want to just remind you again, as I mentioned this morning, it is important that we have the Lord bring us into truths to understand them and to have a biblical-based conviction by the Holy Spirit, right? We are convinced this is what God is teaching. And so this is important. What you'll see, we're not going to look at the kingdom of God. That's mentioned of in the Bible. Also, the family of God, that's mentioned of in the Bible. And that's, of course, the redeemed all over the world through all time in heaven and on earth. But then there's also the church of God that's here on earth that the Lord is using and building and wanting to propagate the gospel, used by the Lord, right? The church, the relationship, that we might be the light of the world. And so God wants us to understand really what that's all about. So we're going to look at four thoughts tonight. We're going to try to move through this very quickly. And again, If these are things that maybe you're not familiar with or maybe have not understood before, consider the scriptures, go back, chew the cud, right, and pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding. But what I'm teaching you here today is a truth that has been taught since, I believe, the founding of the local New Testament church. Every pastor I've ever had has always taught the importance of the local New Testament church and what it represents. We don't believe in a universal, invisible church. And what that teaching is that everybody is part of this church and it's all over the world. And that's not what the Bible teaches. You'll see that here in just a moment. So we want to be clear on that, because today I'm convinced. I'm not even just saying I think this is happening. I am convinced that people today do not know, and we're losing ground on what the local New Testament church is and what it's all about. People say, "Oh, look, you know, this person's a Christian and that person's a Christian." Well, God has defined what a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is really all about. And today you find people kind of coming together and saying, "Oh, well, they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ." Not if they believe you can lose your salvation, and not if they believe that Jesus Christ, when he said it was finished, that it's not finished. If they believe they have to do something about it. And the book of Galatians bears that out. And Paul was addressing the church in Galatia, was he not? It wasn't the church at Corinth that we'll look at here in just a moment, or the church at Ephesus. So every church is a specific body that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at that relationship here. So look back up with me here to verse 21, and notice what he says here. He's speaking to the believers. And he says this, he says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then he says, he uses this analogy here, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And notice he says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? The church." This is important. So fathom this thought. The Lord is saying, now this is not what the world thinks, but what God has ordained is that the husband be the head of the wife. Amen? That's the truth. Now today, you know, may the women be so thankful to the women's liberation movement that got them out of the home into the workforce. Amen? May they praise the women's liberation for getting them out of their home, raising their children, right, in the fear of the Lord, to go out there in the everyday workaday world when one income was sufficient when it was being done God's way. Now two incomes barely make it. Amen? And so every time we try to do things outside of God's way, it ends up being a big mess. It will always be that way. So notice what he says here. He says, verse 23, "For husbands are the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," did you see that? He is intertwining the relationship between husband and wife and the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in how many things?" In everything, right? So, husbands, notice this, "love your wives even as Christ also loved the what? Loved the church and gave himself for it." He shed his blood for the local New Testament church. And what was the purpose of that? Why did he do that? Verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." The word of God is foundational. It is critically important. That's where faith comes from. Is it not? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. That's where we gain our faith, our wisdom, and our understanding. We need the word of God. It is what brings the work of God into our lives. And so he wants to sanctify it, set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Why? Verse 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church." So if you want to know where the glory of the Lord is it is through the understanding, not just the reading, but the understanding and the work of the word of God in the life of the believer. So he says this, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." As we listen, not just know the truths, but do the truth, right? Don't be hearers of the word only, but be ye what? Doers of the word, right? And that's where the work of God takes place in the life of the believer. So verse 28, "so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." Now listen. We have family relationships, don't we? All right, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, and then I'm going to backtrack a little bit. But here's what I want. So think about this now. You would not ask. So you have your family, right? And let's go back to where maybe you had children at home. And if your children stepped out of line, who corrected them? You would correct them, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have a guest come in and correct them, would you? Somebody that wasn't part of your family. But we're going even beyond that. We're not talking about a family relationship. We're talking about a husband and wife relationship. But we certainly wouldn't have a stranger, or even if they were kind, even if they were nice, even if they said they believed like we believe, would we say, "okay, now my child has stepped out of line, would you discipline them?" No, we would never think of offering that to anybody. That is our responsibility, and we would never delegate that to anybody else. That was never God's intent. And so notice what happens here. He says, "so ought men," verse 28, "to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." So he's saying this is foundational. This is important. If we're understanding the church, there is a love between a husband and wife that as we love our, because we become one, right? When we get married, we become one. And so if we love our wives, the Bible says we're loving ourselves. If we don't love our wives, then we don't really love ourselves. We don't understand what God has created. See, if we can see the Lord and what he's given to us, then we will treasure what he is saying, and we'll, by faith, receive that, and God will bless. Do you believe God blesses those that love their spouses?
Yes.
He does. And because that's his promise. Listen, he will build that, especially a believer. Listen, there are lost people that honor the word of God, maybe not intentionally, but that will love their spouses and they will receive a blessing in return, but more so for the child of God as we honor the word of God. And so notice what happens here in verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Did you see that? Listen, he's wanting us to understand this relationship and how it works in the sight of the Lord. Not in our thinking, but in what God is saying. And then he's likening our love for our spouse as loving ourselves and treating ourselves the right way. So he says this. He says, for no man, verse 29, ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Did you see that? Listen, even as the Lord the church. So notice, for we are members of his what? Body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we are getting, so now listen, his body, his flesh, and of his bones. That is the inside working, is it not? He likens the local New Testament church as having many members but one body. The eye, the ear, the foot, right? So this is important. And then notice what he says here. Verse 31. For this cause, now he's reverting back to Genesis chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, where he's talking about the husband and the wife. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. So he's wanting us to get this picture of this relationship that the Lord has with his church. He says this, verse 32, this is a great mystery. This is something that's not been revealed, that he's revealing now. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the what? So this is important, this understanding, this relationship. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So this is the idea in the book of Ephesians here of husbands and wives and the relationship between the Lord and the local New Testament church. Back up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's see what the Bible has to say here. Now, he's speaking to another church. He spoke to the church at Ephesus here just a moment ago that we were looking at. Now we're going to consider what the Lord is saying to the church that is at Corinth. All of these truths are for all time related to the relationship between the Lord and his local New Testament church, which we are members of, right? We're part of the body of the Lord's local New Testament church. So notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 12 here. Notice what he says. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, for as the body is what? One, and hath many members, let's not forget about that, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's important. Now, watch this. Look at verse 18. I'm sorry, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized or placed into one body, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So this is the unification. This is bringing all the individual members, doesn't matter what your background is, to be part of this body. So in the heart and mind of the Lord, one person is not the church. Every member of Northwood Baptist Church is part of his body. Amen. Amen. And is the bride of Christ, right? Amen. And so when we think about that, we want to keep that thought in mind, how God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees the local New Testament church. And so he says, we've been baptized into one body. Now, for example, so if you get saved here, right, if somebody comes and hears the gospel, when they get saved, the next step of obedience is baptism, right? Now, that's not for salvation, but that identifies them with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've seen here just now, it places them into the body of Christ. Now, so also, if somebody was saved years ago and they come over here, they don't need to get rebaptized. If they've been baptized by another church of like faith and order, we would receive their baptism and then they would move their membership over here. Baptism is only done once for the believer. It's believer's baptism. We don't do that to get saved. We do that because we've received the Lord already, right? Okay, so follow what he's saying here. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then he gives this illustration. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And of course the answer is, it is still part of the body. And if the ear shall say, verse 16, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members. Who's doing the setting? Did you see that? But now hath God set the members. All of us individually, are we members of the body?
Yes.
So, but now God has set the members, every one of them, every one of us, right? In the body, as it hath pleased who? So it's important that we believe God is leading us to become part of a specific body of believers. Because that's the biblical example that we have here. It is God that places us in the specific body that he wants to set us in. Now, we're going to skip around. You can feel free, please, to go back through here. But go over to verse 23 and notice what the Lord says here. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So in other words, the Lord is saying there is not one part of the body that is less important than the other part. Everything works together. Just have something go wrong with one part of your body and you will give it your full undivided attention. Especially if you're walking in the middle of the night and stub your pinky toe, I promise you, that pinky toe is going to be mighty important. Amen? You might grab it and take care of it, look at it, make sure you didn't tear it off or something. But it'll become important. Even if we don't think it's important, it is important. It all works together so that we might function in this world, right? We don't want to miss any body parts. So verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. That means when you temper something, you make it strong. Amen? So notice he says this, but God hath, verse 24, hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This is what the Lord wants us to have. The same care one for another. Now, so here's the takeaway. First of all, the church is not likened to a family. Now, I will tell you, I had no problems with my dad or my mother or my father-in-law or my mother-in-law ever correcting my kids. I never had a problem with that because I knew they loved my kids, and if they needed it, I wanted them to correct them. Amen? But we're not talking about that kind of a relationship. We're talking about a relationship between a man and a woman becoming one. This is the picture of the church. So it's not the family of God, it is the relationship in the church of God. And what we need to understand here is God sees every church independently a representation of the body of Christ. And when I say every church, every New Testament church that is after the Lord, amen? There are a lot of organizations that call themselves churches that are not churches. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're only talking about those that are biblical churches, that are after the order of the Bible, of the Word of God, and that which God has ordained. All right? So now, back up with me here. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 4. We looked at the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Now we're going to look at church discipline, right? So we looked at the body of Christ and members. The Bible said here, members in particular. Do you remember that? We just saw that there. So the Lord was talking about, in fact, if you didn't see that, look with me just for a moment back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in what? In particular, did you see that? 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now are ye the body of Christ. He explained what that was all about. God has set us in the body, placed us there, and we are now the body of Christ and members in particular. And God knows every member. Now back up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And we're going to look at what the Lord does with each church. Now, every church has its own problems. because we're dealing with human beings. And by the way, we're not talking about problems tonight. How would you say, physically, reality-wise, we're not perfect. So there are issues. We're not talking about Northwood Baptist Church, but we're looking at the biblical examples of problems that the body of believers have in different locations. The Laodicean Church, you remember about the Laodicean Church? They were filled and increased with goods, and they thought they had need of what? I don't need anything. And what did the Lord say? Oh, listen, you guys are blind, can't see. That you are naked and destitute. You need some eye salve so that you can see and repent, because the Lord was knocking on the outside. You remember the Laodicean church? Okay, so that was not the Corinthian church. That was not the Thessalonian church. That was not the church at Ephesus. That was the Laodicean church. You get that? So the Laodicean church was not the Corinthian church, was it? The Corinthian church is not the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church is not the Galatian church. So all of these churches are the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are different representations and a different relationship. The same relationship, but specifically, all marriages are not the same. I mean, you know, if you're married, you're married. But does it matter what wife you go home to? Oh, you better believe it does. So it matters, but they're still marriages, aren't they? Okay, all right. So fathom this. Look at chapter 4, look at verse 18. And here's what the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come unto you. Now, Paul had a unique position. We don't have apostles anymore. And he was the apostle. He was the founder of the church. But then after he had organized the church, they had pastors. They had their own pastors. But he still kind of was there to help them along and to walk accordingly to the way that the Lord would walk. So he's addressing this issue. Now, some are puffed up, these members, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. But the power. Now, so here's what Paul is saying. There are some people that have gotten a little bit carried away. And what's really important is the power of God, not what they think of themselves. And so he says, listen to this, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Well, it was Paul's desire to come in love and in the spirit of meekness. That, listen, God reached you. We may have been convicted of our sin, but God reached out to show us in love that we needed him, didn't he? And so that's important. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to help these believers to understand. So he says, this is how I want to come to you. Now notice what he says here in verse 1 of chapter 5. It is, so remember, he just finished off. And by the way, you know, the divisions were put in there later. This was all one letter written to the Corinthian church. And so he says, how do you want me to come to you? Do you want me to come with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? And then he says this, it is reported commonly, that means everybody knows about this, that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That's a big problem. That's not a little problem. That's a big problem. And that was specific to the Corinthian church. And so listen, Paul is addressing an issue in a relationship in the body of Christ in this particular location, is he not? And here's what he's saying. This is the problem. And notice what he says here in verse 2. And ye are puffed up. Did you get that? They're all right. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. They just allowed it. And Paul was saying, this is not right. That you have walked contrary to the word and will of God. You have allowed this to take place, and you've done nothing about it. Verse 3. For verily, truly, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. So he's saying, I want you to know what the Lord has to say about it. In the name of our Lord, verse 4, Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with you, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. They were glorying in this. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It ruins it all. Notice what he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, listen, this is applicable to every church, but specifically to the Corinthian church that Paul is addressing. And he is getting ready to deal with the observance of the Lord's Supper. Listen, when two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. If we have a baptismal service here, what part are they joining? Another church or Northwood Baptist Church? Northwood Baptist Church. Now, when we were pastoring, when I was pastoring in Grand Prairie, we didn't have a baptistry. We had the building, we had the property and all that, but we did not have a baptistry. Sublette Road Baptist Church, a sister church in Arlington, allowed us to use their building because they had a baptistry. And we used it many times. And so we would all have lunch, and we would get together about 2 o'clock to have a baptismal service. The only person that showed up from Sublette Road Baptist Church, and he did not participate, he just unlocked the doors, was Brother Bill Morrow, the pastor. And he would let us in. And it was the membership of Colonial Baptist Church that was observing and conducting the ordinance of baptism for that new believer. And even though we were using a different baptistry, the ordinance was being carried out by Colonial Baptist Church. And that was who they were joining, right? The person that was being baptized was joining Colonial Baptist Church, not Sublette Road Baptist Church. So the thing is to understand here is we may be in the same family of God, but the function of the church of God and the ordinances of the church of God are specific to that local New Testament church. That's why, and you'll see that here in just a moment, we don't believe in close communion. There's three kinds of communions. There's open communion. We definitely don't believe in that. That means anybody and everybody come partake of the Lord's Supper here at Northwood Baptist Church. We don't believe in close communion, right? And that's beginning. Listen, that is beginning with Brother Leroy Dickinson, the first pastor here of Northwood Baptist Church when it was called Oakland Baptist Church. Remember that? All right? And he, listen, did not teach that. None of my pastors ever taught that. And so this is a misunderstanding in the hearts and minds of God's people, maybe, right? And we want to make that clear, because we're not trying to say we're right and they're wrong. We just want to follow what the Word of God is saying. Amen. That's all we want to do. We want to follow and adhere to the teaching of the Word of God. And it needs to be clear in our hearts and minds. And that's why I tell you, listen, I'm going to share this with you tonight, but pray, if you're having a difficult time, ask the Lord to give you peace with it, whichever way. And I believe God will lead you to the truth, don't you? God, Lord, I want to believe the truth. He'll guide us in that. So as we consider this, notice what's going on here. He's dealing with them, and he's saying there's been a problem here, and we want to make sure that this is all functioning the right way. So as we look at this, drop down to verse 12, and notice what he says. For what have I to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? So we're talking about judgment, right? We're talking about those who are walking disorderly in that local New Testament church. We are dealing with the discipline of that particular body. If somebody comes in off the street, we have no clue where they're coming from. That's why it's always been done, the membership of the particular church that's observing the Lord's Supper stands. I told you I would never, I will explain it. And if somebody goes to participate and partake, but we should never extend them. We're not befriending them. We're not doing them any favors. We're causing them to walk against the teaching of the Word of God. They are not part of that body. They cannot observe. Where's their church? Where's their church? They ought to be in their church. And if they don't have a church, then they need to find the church that God would have them to be part of and join that church and support it, right? With their prayers, with their offerings, with their outreach, and with their and with the observance of the ordinances of the Lord's church. So notice what happens here. He says, remember, he's dealing with these people that were not walking upright. Look at verse 6 very quickly. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Deal with this situation as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. Our Passover, we're getting into the Lord's Supper. Amen. And notice this, verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, and they were walking wickedly, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Specific to this church, the Galatian church has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper at the Corinthian church. They have everything to do with it at their church, because did Paul address them in their error? Yeah, and they had to deal with business, right? Because they were reverting back that, you know, who has bewitched you, Paul said to them. You started out in the spirit. You're now going to be made perfect by the flesh, right? Remember, they had their problems. And these are things that had to be dealt with at their local body. Listen, God is talking about discipline in the church, is he not? Listen, if somebody's coming from outside the church, there's no discipline. They can't discipline us, and we can't discipline them. They don't belong. There's no part. So, again, verse 12. Drop down to verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? And the answer is yes, you should. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. Deal with discipline. There has to be this discipline. Otherwise, things are not being done right. And by the way, listen. Let me just invite you back there. We're going to come back here to the book of Corinthians here. So hold your place right here. Go over to the book of Acts just for a moment. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Do you remember the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? There was a problem there, wasn't there? They lied to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit specifically. And notice what happens. In fact, look at verse 10. Acts chapter 5, verse 10. Then fell she down, speaking of Sapphira. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the what? But not just the church. And upon as many as heard these things. So listen, great fear fell upon the church, and also as many as heard these things. And those that heard those things that were not part of the... Listen, God is serious about discipline in the church. And the people that heard those things that were not part of the church had nothing to do with the church. Even if they were saved. Even if they're saved. Listen, church is not just this whatever goes. Whatever flows. It's just whatever happens is okay. No, God's got specific... God is a God of order, is he not? And things have to be done decently in order to honor and glorify him. Amen. And so we don't take these things half-hearted. So the last place we're going to go, the Lord's Supper. And again, this is all... Go back to the book of Corinthians. This is all one letter to the people, to the church at Corinth specifically. 1 Corinthians 11... And look at verse 17. He's speaking to the church, and there were problems with the Lord's Supper at this church. Now, in this, 1 Corinthians 11:17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. They were observing the Lord's Supper. And he's speaking to these members of the Corinthian church. For first of all, when you come together in the what?
Church.
So does that mean anybody? No. When you come together, remember that intimate body that the Lord was talking to us about in the book of Ephesians? How we all, listen, somebody comes in, they're not part of this body. They're not part of this bride here at Northwood Baptist Church. We don't bring a blessing on them. This is not just some little feel-good ceremony that we're doing, some little memorial. This is important and ordained and commissioned by the Lord as an ordinance for this specific body.
Amen.
Just as baptism is. When they come and they're baptized here, they're becoming part of Northwood Baptist Church. So, what does he say here in verse 17? He says, you're not coming together for the better, but for the worse. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. He's saying, this is not right that's going on over here. For there must be also heresies among you. Wow, did you get that? Listen to what he just said. If there are divisions, there are heresies. Something is awry. Something is wrong. I didn't say that. The Lord did through the Apostle Paul. Again, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you. Did you get that? The Lord is saying if there are divisions, there are heresies. You know why? Because it is the devil that gets his foot in the door to bring division. So notice verse 19, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Notice this, verse 20, when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat what? What are we talking about? The Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. This is disorderly. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? Did you see what he just said there? You are making light of the church of God. The church of God, did we not read in chapter 12 that God has set as it has pleased him every member in each body? So if somebody just strolls in here, are they a member of this body? No, they're not a member of this body. They're a visitor, and we welcome them, and we had visitors when we observed the Lord's Supper here. And praise the Lord, they didn't stand up, did they? And nothing was extended and offered to them either. Because that ordinance is for Northwood Baptist Church. I'm sorry, listen, I'm not doing it to please anybody but the Lord. Well, they may misunderstand it. Well, I would rather stand right before the Lord and wrong before them. And by the way, they were not offended and they're still coming.
Right.
And she was praising the Lord today for the message, and so was I. If she was blessed, it came from the Lord. Amen? And so this is important because the Bible tells us that Christ gave himself for the church.
Right.
And listen, If this is making more sense to you, God brings us to the truth, amen?
Amen?
And when he does, now we have the responsibility to say, yes, Lord, that's the way I need to walk. And we are learning all the time, aren't we? Listen, I need the Lord to guide me. When I approach the Word of God, oh, I've read that before. No, Lord, you've got something for me there. I don't know it all. I won't even pretend to know half of everything. Not even a tenth, not even a 1% of everything. I need you, God, to show me, because I want to walk according to your will and your way. So notice what he says right here. He says, look, I want to make sure, I want you to understand that you don't do this. He says, again, verse 22, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This is the Lord's Supper. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He did not do that. There was a lot of believers, but he did that specifically just with the disciples, didn't he? And more specifically, the Lord is teaching us here that this ordinance is specifically for that body of believers at Corinth. And so this is important. This do in remembrance of me as this body here. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Did you see that? That's powerful. He's not talking to anybody just walking in the doors. He's talking to this membership that God has. Listen, he is dealing with this body of believers that God hath set in place. Every member. Didn't we just read that in chapter 12? God has set every member in his place as it has pleased who? Him. As it has pleased the Lord. So this is important. So notice what he says right here. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Listen to this. For this cause many are weak and sickly that visit your church. Is that what it said? No. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Among you. Among who? The Corinthian church. Did you see that? The Corinthian church. So just the ordinances are the same. They belong to that local New Testament church. Just as we would never baptize somebody and they would be a member of some other church. How about this one? Ready? I'm a member of your church. Really? Never seen you before. Well, I was baptized at the ABC Baptist Church down the street. They said, I'm a member of your church. Next week, I'm going to another church. I'm a member of their church. Next week, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm a member of their church. Really? So if we don't believe that about the ordinance of baptism, why in the world would we ever get that into our thinking that that's okay in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper? And here's the whole thing. There are, and simply because maybe we just didn't understand or didn't know. I mean, you know, we all have to learn, don't we? We all have to learn. But the Lord was very careful in pinpointing church discipline before he addressed, and there was a problem. Before he addressed the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. So what we are doing is following biblical example. And here's the whole thing. Lord, if I've misunderstood something, I want to walk in your way. If I've misunderstood, I want to follow you. And I would encourage you, if this is not clear in your heart and mind, ask the Lord to bring you to peace with that. I am convinced the Lord will bring us to the truth. Did you hear that? I am convinced the Lord will bring us to the truth. I need the truth. I want to walk according to his way, not my thinking. I will get it wrong every time if I lean to my own understanding, won't I? We'll always get it wrong. And so this understanding of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ begins with the understanding of that intimate relationship between a man and a woman. And we, as the bride of Christ, we are the body of his bride. And I don't understand it all. We are in his body too. We're in him and he's in us. But God is very specific about how we're to walk for his honor and glory. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants us to know the truth so that we can walk in it. And God wants us not only to know what we know right now, but he also wants us to grow in the truth that we might honor and glorify him. This is my heart's desire. It has never changed. that every member of Northwood Baptist Church would hear from the lips of God Almighty, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. I want everybody to know what God is revealing to me so that we might walk upright before Him, yielded completely to Him, that we might be found faithful when He comes. Isn't that the best? And may we pray, I pray for the membership every day. I can't even think of a day that I don't call upon the Lord to bless the membership of Northwood Baptist Church. And may we as believers call upon the Lord to bless every member of Northwood Baptist Church for His honor and glory, that we might be found faithful. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this evening, thanking You for Your mercy and grace. Lord, Your wisdom and understanding. And Lord, may You guide our hearts and minds as we look to You and to Your Word, that You would just show us, Lord, Your will and Your way, and that we would walk in it. Bless, Lord, and build Northwood for Your honor and glory. Bless all of Your churches, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.